Hi, everybody, and welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, we are doing a special episode, as you know I like to do, and it is an author spotlight. And today, I am welcoming author Bryn Asher. Welcome to the podcast, Bryn.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Okay, so a little bit of info about Bryn. USA Today bestselling author Bryn Asher, writer of romance, lover of caffeine and cocktails. Bryn lives in the Midwest with her husband and three children, although not all of them live at home anymore.
No, they're, I think I need to update that. Goodness. Yeah, two of them have flown the coop. One's married. The other's just off working, doing his thing. We have one left.
Yes. When she isn't creating pretend people and drama, she's running her kids around and doing laundry. Bryn thrives on skincare and online shopping while being fabulous in her favorite ratty pajamas.
That's right. My husband is like, you have so many shoes for someone who hardly ever leaves the house, and I can't help it.
Yeah, but he buys you them too. So it's not like he can't say that he adds to that chaos.
I know.
Because you have posted shoes that he buys you.
Yes, he does. He buys me shoes.
I will say, anytime that he comes on, when he's talked, like when you talk about like all, like, because at one point last year, I think it was like during the winter, like you had emptied, and it sounds like I'm like stalking you, but I'm really not.
No, it's fine.
Just a little bit. But you had like five black jackets that you had brought in the house. He's like, how many black jackets does one person need?
A lot. Five or more.
Well,
that's another thing I have a lot of. I have a lot of jackets and a lot of shoes for someone who works from home in the same tiny room and really doesn't even enjoy going to the grocery store. So,
oh man, it is a running joke about like around people that I know, like how much I dislike driving anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I like to stay in my bubble. Like I live in a very small town. So like I'm fortunate that I can walk to most places, like my office, like for my job outside of this stuff. It's a 3-minute walk from my house, but my husband, like his commute is also a 3-minute drive. So like he is not traveling far either, but I like my bubble. Like
I
don't like to travel. Like I had to go into Pittsburgh a couple times this year and people were like, are you okay?
That's a long way.
I'm
that's
like,
a
no,
big
it was horrible.
Right. I go to yoga and sometimes I pick up the groceries if I can't make anybody else do it. So that's about
Yeah, but you have other drivers in your house, so you don't
do.
have to do it all.
That's right.
Okay, so what initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
I was just like you. I was just like every other reader. I was voracious in everything I could read. I started, well, I've always been a big reader. I should say I've been a big reader off and on. I feel like when my kids were little, I would go in spurts, like I would read a series and then I would fall off for a few months and then I would read another series. And it wasn't always romance. Like I really loved Christian lit. I really loved women's literature. I went through a whole phase where I loved reading autobiographies. Like I was just like, I would just read anything. And then I don't know, like just I think about the time like indie authors became a thing, like 2010, maybe 2011. I think I picked up Twilight, then I picked up 50, and then I was just every single thing I could read, you know, for romance. And I was reading all the original indies, you know. And my best friend and I were buddy reading everything. And I just one day I thought to myself, I wonder if I could write a better than bad book. You know what I mean? Because you start, like you read all these things and all the storylines and you get these ideas. And I really love banter. And I was a writer in my past life, not fiction. And like in my job before, when I was working in the corporate world, like I was in marketing and I was doing technical writing. Like I felt like I could write, but I didn't know if I could write to entertain. So I just decided to sit down and write it or try it. And my best friend said, I promise I will tell you if it sucks. I will not let you waste your time and I will not let you embarrass yourself. So very grateful for her encouragement. I know for a fact I would not be where I am today without her. So Shout out to Michelle.
Well, that's awesome. But that,
Yes.
but also it's very, it's nice. And she's like, I will tell you if it sucks. 'Cause there's so
Yes.
many people are like, well, it's good, but then they don't want to say, but it's not great.
Yeah, right. So she said, she was like, I don't want you to, spin your wheels or whatever. And so I wrote Overflow, was my first book. Is it a perfect book? No, it's not. I didn't know anything about beta readers. I wasn't on Facebook at the time. I wasn't even on Goodreads. Basically, I had the Kindle app and that's it. And I wrote this book and I didn't know what else to do with it. So I had to research everything else. I didn't have an editor. I didn't have a lot of things. So it was the
A
fast one of
learning
the fastest
curve.
books I've ever read or I've ever written, because I didn't have any voices in my head telling me, don't do this, you should do this, it needs this, it doesn't need that. It went through a lot of self-editing processes. I don't know. It was, I look back on that and I am so grateful for the person that I was then, and that I had the, I don't know, what do I say? That I had the nerve to do it, that I had that I was brave enough to try it. So, they've gotten better. I think I hit my stride with Athgalene, and I'm just very proud of where I am now for where I was then. And I just, in this whole industry, I do everything I can to just try to be better than myself. So it, because the comparison game is really hard in this industry,
It is, yeah.
and I really have gotten to the point where, like, if I can be better than I was in the next in the in my last book, or if I can try something new, or if I can grow in some way, then that's what I want to do.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there. Like, we've had conversations about, because I was an art major in college, and we have had conversations about how critique day was the most stressful and emotional days because you pour yourself into these things and you have a
Yes.
group of people sitting there tearing it apart. And you're like, oh, well, I thought I did a good job. And they're like,
Right.
this really sucks. And I don't know what you're thinking about putting this out there. And it's like, wow. We also have said that authors should sit through like an art critique like that, because then they can like really experience like the hair raising and like gut wrenching detrimental like things people say.
Yes. I went through, like, so many of my books, I had ARC readers, or not ARC readers, but like beta readers, and I feel like the best thing an author can do, or a new author can do, is to find the hardest beta readers you can find, because a beta reader who's just like, oh my gosh, I love it, is not going to do you any good. And now I'm kind of to the point where I don't really use beta readers much, as much as I did. And if there's a certain topic or something that I'm worried about, then I will. I've kind of just like not had time for that in my process, but I do have alpha readers that read as I go, and that just kind of keeps me motivated in the story itself. But those beta readers at a certain point in my career, I'm very, very grateful for them. Like, so grateful for them, because they challenged me and they made me better and they made me think things through differently. So, yeah, I'm very grateful for them. And it's hard to be critiqued. It's very hard,
It
but it's
is.
good. It makes us better.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it is hard to, because you're, and then you have to think of it like from the outside perspective too. It's like, what are they seeing that I'm not?
Right,
And I think
right.
that's the biggest thing, is having that open mind, like when you're going into that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's hard, I'm
Yes.
sure. Do you have any rituals or habits that help you stay focused and productive? I know, like this summer, like notwithstanding, because life was chaos for you,
Life
but
was chaos for
typically,
me.
do you have any rituals or things that help you keep focused?
This last summer was chaos for me. Our daughter got married, and we just had all kinds of different things going. But honestly, summers are hard to write for me anyway, because the whole family is on a different schedule, and It's so it's hard for me to stick to a good schedule. Let's see. Number one, caffeine. Caffeine is my friend. Have to be caffeinated because I can nod off very easily, I feel like, anymore. I do my best very early and in the day. So my alarm goes off at 4:45.
Oh my gosh.
My coffee's ready the night before. I just press go. I try to get going at 5 a.m. Usually I'll hit my stride by 6 a.m. And I think in years past I was stronger at that point in time where I could, be hitting my word count by 8 or 9 a.m. and then kind of walk away from it, which is nice. Now it takes me longer in the day. I've kind of hit a different schedule where I'll get up at that time and work. I've taken up yoga in the past year, so I try to do that every day, usually around noon. And unless I'm on a hard and fast deadline, I usually don't work a whole, I don't write a whole lot later than that. But there were times like this summer when my husband was like, "We're going to Colorado," and I parked myself on the sofa, looked out at the mountains, and wrote 30,000 words in a week. So that was not ideal. I don't enjoy doing that, but I do like getting up early. I don't like it, but it's good for me. I feel like that's when I'm my most prolific.
Think the people who enjoy getting up early, like there's something like inherently wrong with
I
them.
agree. I agree. Like it's a discipline thing. Like for me, it's easier for me to get up early than it is for me to sit down and write at any other time of day, which is not, I don't enjoy, like I don't enjoy waking up early, but anyway.
Yeah, I wake up early only because I have to, because I have to get my kids up, which, yes, I still wake my children up, even though they're old enough to probably do it themselves. But if I don't do it, then it's not going to happen. So,
Right.
yeah.
Yes, I
But
get it.
I'm a night owl. Like, I've always been a night owl. Like, my daughter, not so much, but everybody else in my family are night owls. So it's like, it's rough in the morning sometimes. It's
I
very
agree.
quiet in our
Not
house.
a lot of talking. I get
No.
that.
So your characters, this is a thing that's been going around. The third act breakup and the lack of third act breakup. What are your feelings on that? Because your characters don't always have the third act breakup, but there's always a third act something. But what are your feelings on it?
I usually have third act drama. And I was thinking about this before we got on to talk today. And I mean, someone might correct me on this because I didn't think through every single book, but I think I only one of my books has a third act breakup that I can think of, and that's Athika Lane. So,
No, Overflow has one too. Because after the cabin, when she finds out about
oh, but did they break
they,
up?
I mean, it's more of a pause, but there's definite like distance.
But he never left her. Like he kind of
No, he
refused to leave
didn't.
her.
She kind of like steps back. So it's like
And I
one
guess that happens
side.
in Gifts too, but like
Yeah,
as
but
far
Gifts,
as
it's a
like
little bit different, like dynamic of the way that it happens, so.
but as far as both characters walking away and being like, that's a breakup, that's
Yeah, that's true.
one of, one of my books. And so because the reader just loves it when the hero is like consistent and being like, sorry, you can think that you can think this, but it's not going to happen, and I'll just wait it out, to because so to me that's not a breakup. But I here's the thing. I feel like the romance industry goes through phases, it's organic. And there are readers who come along and they'll be like, I don't like this, and then it catches on, and then everybody wants to know, is there this, is there that? And right now there's not a huge love for third act breakups, but then it's just like people didn't like there. I feel like the same thing happened with cliffhangers. People were like, I'm not going to read a book if there's a cliffhanger. Yet when authors came out with a cliffhanger in a duet, they sold like it sold like hotcakes,
Yeah, there was. I mean,
So
they're still prevalent, but they're definitely like
like people
petering
want to
off a little
know, you know what
bit.
I mean? So I don't know. Will it change? I have no idea. I find it, again, I can only do the best that I can do. And I try to do better than I did before. My books all have an element of suspense where I feel like my third act drama comes in. I like to make everything nice and tidy and happy for my couples and then kind of rip the rug out from under them. And that's where my third act drama comes in. And it's not a breakup, but it's definitely like, oh, is someone gonna die? Is someone gonna, that person was kidnapped or that person was hurt or that person's in the hospital? You know what I mean? So that's, I think, where it differs a little bit when you can bring in. I like external drama. I like drama. If there's drama within my couples, I like it very early in the book, and I like to, then I like the external drama to come in and shake everything up.
So, do you personally have a favorite trope that you like to read?
Gosh, I love to read the I love to read an anti-hero. So it's kind of weird that I like to the tropes that I really love to read the most, like I don't write very many of. I really love enemies to lovers. I just eat that up. And I don't write a whole lot of that,
No.
but I really love to read it because I love the drama and I love the tension in it. And I love a single dad. So just, and I do write a lot of that. I have to even kind of like check myself sometimes, like, oh, you just wrote a single dad 2 books ago. I think it should wait another book or two. You can't write it, can't write too many of those. So, yeah, that's what I just love the books with a lot of tension in them. Like, give me all the tension.
Okay, so but to write though, do you have a favorite trope you like to write?
Well, I loved Write Single Dad. It's always one of my favorites. And I feel like the kids, adding the kids in is such a great element, a really single parent in general, because I really do love single moms as well. It's, and I feel like the longer I've written single parent, I kind of like to insert like the naughty kids, or the kids that aren't perfect. So that's always fun. And let's see that. I also like to challenge myself with tropes. Like if there's a trope that I have not written, I think about like this last, like my newest release, was a Friends to Lovers, and I had, that was my first Friends to Lovers.
That's
So
what I thought.
yeah, and I really had to challenge myself to do it in a way that was a little bit different so that there could be enough tension in it, because I can't write a book without lots of tension.
Well, and so I mean, because I've read all of your books multiple times, but like I was going back through and like looking, like just double checking, because I'm like, I don't think she's ever done this before. I'm like, but I thought it worked really well.
Thank you. Thank
And
you.
I just really enjoyed that, because,
Thank
and
you.
it's nice when authors challenge themselves and write something that they haven't done before. And it's like, it's interesting to see like the direction it goes and like,
Yes.
but but saying that, so let's get into Illicit. So Illicit was released September 3rd, 2024. The tropes are age gap, for kind of forbidden, childhood crush, friends to
Yes.
enemies to lovers, but
Yes.
only enemies on her side, definitely not on his side.
No.
But so this is Rocco Monroe in Tegan's book. We met Rocco way back in Possession when he first shows up as a teenager. So I know in your back matter, you've talked about this a little bit, but for those of you who have not read the book, so Rocco, when he was first introduced as a character, did you plan on writing his book the whole time?
The minute I introduced him, not the minute, a few chapters later, when he and Landon got tight, in Possession, I knew that he needed a book. And so that was when, I am not a huge planner. I'm trying to be, but I'm not a huge planner. So that was Rocco's character in Possession really drove the series. And for me, because usually I'll write a series and not that much time goes by. Like I've never written a series where 12 years spans from book one to book four. And once Rocco's character came into play, I knew that that had to happen. So that it kind of, but I loved it. It was really nice for me to be able to go through and, oh, well, this person had another baby, you know, and this person is, you know, they have three kids now, you know. And so, like, I think in every single book, Landon has a baby. So
You're right, she
maybe not the
does.
second book. I don't know. I think she did in the third
I
book,
think she was,
and
wasn't she pregnant at the end of it, maybe?
she was pregnant at the, yes, I think she was pregnant in Tapped. And so, anyways, just like, I was like, oh, I don't know. Let's have her have another baby. Why not? So, so yeah, it was, he really drove the series, and I learned a lot writing the series. I learned that readers really need someone to cheer for throughout and look forward to. And so that was very satisfying to me that that was such a happy accident for myself in this series. Yeah.
Well, and he's one of those characters, like he's the growth and change, like when you first meet him in book one to like his story in book four, like he still has those hang-ups, we'll say, for the lack of a better word, about like things that happened in book one and the way he was raised, and like, but it all like kind of comes to a head and a culmination. I thought that was really interesting the way that you did that, because you could have not, like, you could have addressed the past but kind of just left it in the past, but you didn't, like you kind of brought it into the forefront, but not so much that it was overwhelming to the story, which I thought was really nice.
Good. I'm glad because I, the more like every single book that was released, and the more everyone loved Rocco, my anxiety kept building, needing to do him justice. And so, the feedback that I've received for this book has been, liberating, and it's been very like a whew, like I can take a breath and be like, oh gosh, I'm glad that went well. Because I was worried I would the readers would be like, I waited all this time and it was okay. But I feel like it's the most love I've had for a character, for one character in a very long time. And I'm just, man, I love my readers. So it's been great.
So this, like all of your books, like your killers series, like, I mean, they're killers. There's some
Yes.
CIA tie-ins and all that stuff, but this one's all about the in the DEA.
Yes.
And so anybody who follows you knows, like, that was what your husband did. He worked in the DEA. Was like writing a series in that type of world always the goal, or did it was like a happy accident?
No, I think I've always wanted to write about a DEA agent. I'm not sure that I ever planned on writing a series. And he's like, that's a little close to home, you know, because he's retired from the DEA and law enforcement completely. And so he was like, that's a little close. I don't know. Can we not, can you just like wait until I retire and then we can revisit it? So he retired. And I think I wrote his character into Scars. I wrote Brax Cruz's character in Scars to introduce him. And I knew that he would get, I knew when I did that, I was like, well, I'm just gonna let this go. When the time comes, I can start his series. And I really, my goal for the series was to start every book off with a bang. Like, obviously, Possession was the biggest bang with sort of the Bloody Wedding. And
Literally.
literally, yeah. But I tried to do every single one like that. As but then again, not have them be copycat and be true to the character to the main characters of the book, because I don't think Exposed started off with a bang, but it started off at very it was a shock for my heroine, for Goldie. But yet I think King is such a strong character, yet he's also a little bit awkward in some ways. And that was really like I had to balance all of that. So there were definitely more bangs in that book, but Yeah, it was just a very satisfying series for me to write, especially once I got the first book done and I knew that Rocco was going to be the last book and I had something to work toward and let that character marinate and grow, and know that I still had a lot of work to do on him for his book. I didn't want it to be just like, oh, he got to his last book and he was fine and everything else. Like, he still needed character growth throughout his story.
Well, and Tegan, who, if you've read the other books, Tim, who is like the head, like the guy's like
Supervisor.
handler, supervisor, like it's one of his kids. Was she always gonna be Rock's love interest, or did that kind of come about after the fact?
That came about in Tapped when I was writing the second book. I think I wrote a scene where everybody was together and
She was going back to college or coming back from
No, I
college.
think she was 16 in Tapped, so she
Was
was
she?
pretty young.
Maybe I'm
Yeah.
thinking one in
The older one,
Exposed.
Sammy was, no, Sammy was, and then Exposed, she was going back to college, yes.
Yes.
So, and I only know this so well because I had to do the math multiple times on my characters'
Yeah,
ages to
that's
make sure I got them right.
hard.
I
It's
don't
so
have like a
hard.
character Bible. I've never done that. So I really have to go back and reread and double check and ask a few trusted people, am I doing this right? I knew in Tapped, I was like, oh, he needs to hook up with. I didn't really know that Tim's family was who he really attached himself to as a family until I started planning that book. But when I knew it was Tegan, I'm like, oh, it has to be that way. Like he has to be the son that Tim never had. And they had to have grown up together and been friends because I didn't want to make it weird either. Like I didn't want to make him like he was lusting after some young girl because he wasn't, at all. She was totally of age.
Well, and it's one of those things, the way that you introduce the characters, like you leave it kind of open-ended in the sense where like nobody really knew like what was going on like in the background with Brock, and like where like you knew where he was because he didn't want to live with Landon, but it's like at the same time like you left it so open-ended you could go any direction that you wanted, and I thought I just really loved that. But the fact that like Tim, but the mom's reaction, like I just love that so much.
That she was happy.
She was so happy.
Yes, she was so happy.
And I think that's one of those things that like really affirmed for Rock, like the way that, I mean, Tim had his like moment because of course he does, but like I think it really affirmed like for him, like these are truly people who care about him as a person, not just like they weren't going through the motions at all. Like he felt that, but it was like those reactions, like he really finally understood, like this is it.
And I try to, I know readers feel one way or another about flashbacks. So I didn't want to laden the book with flashbacks, but I felt like it definitely needed a couple, to really, I just needed a couple to really cement the characters and why they were where they are in the present moment.
So I know that there have been some questions, but is Sammy gonna get a book, or are you leaving? Like, because you never leave your world. All of your worlds are connected.
Yes.
But is Sammy gonna get a book?
Right
Or
now,
have you
Sammy
not
has no.
decided yet?
Well, I have no plans for Sammy right now. I will say that I didn't write her character the way I did for plans for her. Let me just say that. So, right now, no. I have
Again,
lots of
you
other
left her
plans.
kind of open-ended.
Yeah. So, if something ever comes up and I'm like, I really could use like a heroine, like a single mom or whatever. And I kind of left it open-ended where she could be completely happy with her family, bigger family, or she could be happy with her, her daughter. And it is what it is. So I'm not sure.
We
I
shall
really
see
like,
then.
I am being completely 100% honest here. I'm not trying to like, trail readers
That's
along.
fine.
I have zero plans for Sammy at the moment. She was a fun character to write because she was, I feel like there's a little bit of, and I'm not sure if every author is this way, but there's a little bit of me in every single character I write, probably. And I was a very irritated pregnant woman. Like, I was never comfortable. I was always hungry, and then I was always sick, and then I was always like, I don't mean to say that and not be grateful because I was extremely grateful, but I was also just sick and uncomfortable. And I was not one of those people that felt like I glowed like
You
the
did
whole
not
time.
love pregnancy. You
You
loved the
know,
after,
I loved
like,
the after and
yeah.
everything. Yes. But like, I was real, like, some of my pregnancies, I was sick for 6 months. Like, it was just not a lot of fun for me. And so, that was as grateful as I am for them and healthy pregnancies. But like, I feel like that was a little bit of like, she was just nervous and uncomfortable and kind of like done with life. And so she was a lot of fun to write.
She just was so like sassy.
Yes, she was very sassy.
Like Sammy is one of those people that she gives zero fucks. Like that is
Right.
how like she like I read her. Like she does not care. She is who she is. And if you don't like it, who cares?
And it's not, and I don't think pregnancy made her that way. She's just that way. Like, she was that
Yeah.
way as a teenager. So.
Well, but as like you read their story and like it's not that she's like a mean, vindictive person. Like
No.
she's nice. Like she just But it's just so like the four of them, Tim and Annette and the like Sammy and Tegan are just
Yeah.
they're very close. Like they are a close-knit family, but they the parents really encouraged both of the girls to like be themselves and be who they
Yes.
are. And I just really love that dynamic. And that's one thing with this book too, is both sides, like yes, Rocco, like his family is not your typical family. Like he it is found, it is created, but at the same time, like both the hero and the heroine have that really great family dynamic. And you don't always get that in a book. And I think that a lot of times authors sometimes forget that both sides don't have to have, or neither side has to have, like a bad situation.
Yes.
Like there's growth and like good families do exist, and like things come from like good families on both sides.
Yes, I felt like when I wrote Tapped and when I wrote finally when I wrote Tapped and I feel like when I wrote Exposed, I even said to my husband, I was like, these are people who come from good parents. Like, their parents aren't horrible. They're not like, I can't do that every single time. It's depressing, you know? And then I feel
Well,
like
and
it
I
becomes
love
all
it
crap.
when it's necessary, but
So like, I feel like even in Tapped, like Micah's parents were super, like they might have had tragedy in their lives, but it's not like they were still loving people. And then, you know, Evie's parents were super wealthy and rich, but they were very supportive. And King and Goldie, same way, even though she had a single mom, like, you know, the same way. So it's kind of nice to be able to write something like that, because I think the go-to often in romance is to make everybody miserable with their parents.
Well, just tragedy and baggage and like just the chaos. Like, I feel like that is the go-to. But I will say that I wanted some Tippy in this book and I missed her.
Some who? Oh, Trippy.
Trippy, yeah.
Yes. Oh, I know. I try to think about how to work her in, and it was just not happening
She's a
organically.
hoot and I loved
She
her.
is.
I
Yes.
love like a sassy elderly character in a book
Me
who
too.
she hit all the right points for me. And it's like, oh man, I miss her.
I know. She was so great to write in that book. I loved her so much. And there will be in the current project that I am writing right now, there will be some more of that. So yeah, I really do love a good elderly character. I just think they add so much, like a kid, like, you know, like a small child adds. So yeah.
So Cole Carson is one of my favorite characters of yours.
Good, thank you.
Will he be showing up in the next series?
He will. I mean, I feel like anyone who has read, I've said very little about Winslet, my next series. And I have to say, that's not what I'm working on at the moment. I'm working on something else. But that Winslet will release next year in 2025. And anyone who has read Illicit through the epilogue will kind of get a little snippet. That's not going to be the title of the book. It'll be something different, but that'll be the name of the series. And it will be about one of Bella Carson's brothers.
I was
And
gonna
I haven't
say,
said, yeah,
is
and
that
I
who we're
haven't said which
getting?
one. And
Are we gonna get more than one brother?
I don't know. Like, literally, I don't know. I'm not trying to drag you along, but it will be one for sure. And we'll see about the other. I don't know. I have plans
You
for
have to
that
see where the words
series.
take you.
Yes, I do. I am a pantser, so we'll see where that goes. But
That's
it
okay.
will, Winslet will be small town. It'll be my first official. Some people label the Killers a small town because it's kind of out in the country, but it's not really like a town town. So Winslet will be a small town. There's going to be a lot of wealth and a lot of it'll be kind of like a vacation destination as well, which I'm excited about writing. And yeah, it'll be a fictional town. I'm not going to say like, oh, it's in this state or it's in this geographic area. Like, it's just going to be sort of up to the reader to imagine where it is. But it's the first time I've ever written a fictional like location.
I like a fictional location that's like based on like towns, because then like you don't aren't like, well, this is wrong. So like Susan Stoker, her Fallport series, like it's a fake town, but it's based on a small town in Virginia. So she's like, I could do what I wanted with it, but like people still like know where I'm talking about. So oh, excuse me. So you did a second gen book with Levi. And Rock is kind of second gen, but I know Emma's book has been a big ask. Are we getting more second gen?
Yes, there will definitely be more second generation from the Killers. And Emma will definitely get a book.
Okay.
So I'm very excited to write her book.
Are we gonna get a Crew Vega like as a dad book? Because I mean, we already have Cole kind of as a dad with Abbott, but I can just imagine like that set of kids like grown up and the chaos that those dads would
I
create.
know, right? I feel like that's all a definite yes.
Oh, I love all these answers. This makes me so happy. Because
Oh, good.
honestly, to see them like as dads, like girl dads at that, it's
I always
gonna
knew I
be
wanted Crew to be,
awesome.
yeah, I knew always knew Crew had to be a girl dad. Like, he just had to be. So, because he was the first killer, the original, and he's so intense in his own way. So, he needed all girls.
Yeah, I actually just re-listened to that one because I listen to audiobooks like while I'm at my day job, because but I can only listen to books I've read before because I can't focus. Like, but yeah, so I was re-listening to that and I just really just love him so much.
Oh, good. Good, good.
So thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I appreciate you coming on so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a really enjoyable time. Thank you.
And until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.